Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.
Well, hey there, family. I told you we'd be back, and I told you we would not be alone, but this time, I have not only brought with me the railroad man himself, Mr. Yuri Lowenthal, from actually in the temple of those who sleep beneath, my cohort, my Edgar Allan Poe, my absolute mistress of the darkness. We are joined by Cam Collins. Cam, how are you?
Doing good. Hello, family.
And as if that weren't enough. As if that weren't enough old God's lusciousness, if that wasn't enough pudding in your cup, I have with me Jerry Brotherton, the retired judge himself, Corey, the buttercream dream Forrester. Corey, how are you doing today, brother?
Well, howdy. I'm very glad to be here. It's nice hearing this such a familiar voice actually introduce me. I feel honored. I feel blessed. I feel humbled. I feel not worthy.
Well, you are someone who knows something about pudding cups. So yeah.
Yes, I do.
Well, we told y'all.
You listened to my album. That's so sweet.
I did.
Oh, my God. I just now got that. I'm a little stoned.
That's okay.
There's no judgment. I understand, like, dealing with the old gods does require some substance sometimes. You have to kind of go into it. Family, if you have listened to season two, and this is your last chance to turn back right now, we are going to be neck deep in season two spoilers. We are holding nothing back. It's been since July that we dropped the finale. And this material you're getting between now and our new story releases is pretty much spoiler zone. So if you have not listened to The Siege of Pleasant Evenings, A Bad Night for Hollow Men, Charcoal Suit, and all any of the Railroad Man and Local Magistrate arc, we're going to be talking about it like it's family history. So just be aware. You got about 3, 2, 1, and we're in the spoiler zone now. So, gentlemen, Corey, we talked to Yuri a little bit, so he can chill out for a second. And I would like to point out, if you are not seeing the video of this, and patrons may be seeing the video of this, Corey and Yuri are both wearing the Railroad Man shirts designed by the Railroad Stand. Pose for me, boys. Let me get a screenshot of that, at least, if nothing else. Hang on. I would say give me a Young Bucks pose, but I'm not sure that you both know what that means. Just get the art. All right, just flex. There we go. All right, hang on. And captured. Excellent, amazing, beautiful, wonderful. That shirt, of course, designed by the Railroad Stand, available over at the T Public store of Old Gods of Appalachia for a reasonable sum. Corey, how did you come to us, family? Like, Like, I know Yuri crept up on us in the dark of night, and I didn't know who he was for the longest time. And I knew of you vaguely through Drew Morgan and through Trey Crowder. I was actually at a wedding with Drew Morgan, which he barely remembers. How did you find your way to the family?
Y'all are one of – there's been about five or six things over the past several years that I just get repeatedly – mentioned in on Twitter, like I get tagged and shit, and for so long, Old Gods of Appalachia, Old Gods of Appalachia, Old Gods of Appalachia, and that appealed to me, but I was like, I wasn't super into podcasts at the time. I'm not even sure that we were doing one ourselves. We weren't yet told that comedians were legally required to have a podcast.
I lost.
They put me in prison for that, I just kept getting tagged in it, and I want to say that it was just one thing where I was like, yeah, okay, right on, I'll check it out. And then Drew Morgan's wife, Andy, we were in Denver hanging out, you know, having a Denver time, and I heard it come out of her mouth, and I was like, oh, wait, you listen to that? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, not that I don't trust the opinion of a random stranger on the internet.
Sure.
But
how dare you, sir?
Yeah, now that you've said it and you're someone I love, I will check it out. And I can't tell you how many years ago that was, but it's just one of them things that as far as Appalachian recommendations, it became one of those things that, well, 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong, you know?
Yeah. Well, I remember just one, because, like, we need to turn our Twitter DMs off. We've mm-hmm. been talking about doing this forever. And just listing the email address. But you had sent us a Twitter DM, and I think you were pretty high when you sent it. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
But you were just like, if y'all ever want any free voice work, I like to get high and go in the woods and listen to your podcast and creep myself out. It was like no filter, just like straight. I get high as shit and listen to your podcast. And I was like, okay. And I checked him. Like, oh, he's like with these guys. Okay. And I said, we'll keep that in mind. And literally when I started putting together the cast for this, I'm like, I'm going to go check out Buttercream Dream and see. And that's when you had, like, 2 days before, Leslie Jones had retweeted you into the stratosphere. Uh-huh. And I'm like, hey, how about that free voice work now there, cousin?
How about that free voice work now, motherfucker? Yeah,
those triple
now, now he's worth our time. No, I'm kidding.
But the price of the brick has increased.
unfortunately, for some people, I do. I tend to talk to everyone the same, whether you're the preacher or whether you're my best friend of 30 years. So if what I want to say is, man, I get fucked up and listen to your shit in the woods, that's what I'm probably going to say.
And we're for that.
And I could tell. See, that's the thing. That's how I knew you truly were family. I was like, I can talk to this guy like this. You know, that's no problem. But yeah, man, I'm so glad that you hollered back, because that was not only me loving your podcast, that's also me being. That was pretty much the first actual voice character work I've ever done.
Whoa.
Ever. I mean, I've done I've had to use my voice for certain things, but never like, oh, this is a completely different person. And so that was me just being like, I want to get into this. I don't know how. I like the stories they're telling. I could probably fit into that world. I'm shooting my damn shot.
No, absolutely. I want to compliment you.
Thank you.
I want to compliment you, and I'll let Yuri say his piece about you here in a second. But like you following a tradition here at Old Gods, Betsy Puckett, who played Granny White in Build Mama a Coffin, available exclusively on Patreon, patreon.com/Old Gods of Appalachia. She is a known comedic actress in the Asheville, Western North Carolina area. If you ever rode the Lazoom comedy bus in this town and there was a crazy waitress lady screaming at you and putting you in your place, that's Betsy Puckett. And she was the leader of a comedy troupe called Lilas. It was an all woman comedy troupe here in Asheville. It's very funny if you were from Asheville, kind of very Asheville centric humor. Great, but a great friend of mine, my sister host of the Moth, the yin to my yang, the drawl to my twang. I host 1 month, she hosts the other. And when she took on the role of, that was her first villain, and she did things with it that were absolutely unnatural. And I mean, she's terrifying. You, my friend, took on a character who very easily, who in my head at first was kind of like a cocky cock of the walk, you know, daddy's boy who, you know, could do no wrong. And you made him softer and vulnerable, and like you still hated him for his privilege, but at the same time you couldn't blame him.
You felt bad. Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you say that about being cocky cock of the walk. Like when I hear,
I don't know. Like, I see that some people, when they read the descriptor of, like, oh, he's got his daddy's money, you know, he maybe when he was 20 he was like that, but I don't know, man. Like, I just was like, I know this piece of shit. You know what I mean? I was like, and so his voice was like an amalgamation of three dudes that I know in my life who kind of fit this description, but, like, I don't know. I think Jerry Brotherton probably thinks all the things that you just said about him, but I don't think that it comes out that way to anyone who knows shit.
I agree, I mean you already won by, you know, having thought about it, you know. Honestly,
well, I was scared you were on this show. I was like, I gotta work.
Oh, so I helped you get there. So you're welcome.
Well, that
goes both ways. Because as soon as I heard that you were gonna be on it, that's when I'm like, wait, I gotta find out a little more about this guy, and that's why I've listened to your record, and that's what because you're great. That's when I started, you know, finding your videos on Twitter and passing those around. I hope this doesn't come off the wrong, but it filled a hole for me that I didn't know needed filling. So thanks for filling my hole, Corey.
Right way.
Cam, Cam's been hugely blushing. Complimentary of your performance. Have you not there?
Oh, I have. You've done a fantastic job. I mean, yeah, you definitely, I agree, turned what, you know, was originally intended as more of sort of this, you know, cocky little asshole into, well, kind of the way we tend to view George W. Bush these days is a spoiled rich bumbler.
But without the genocide.
Without the genocide.
Right. Although Brotherton tried,
He tried. He's just even more incompetent.
A lot of people buried in that mountain. Yeah.
This is so interesting to me because, like, I recently in my life, I've you know, in the past 5 years at least, I've gotten to be friends with more actors, and I would talk to them about their craft, and they would talk about making choices and all this stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, when I was doing this, that was actually my idea. And I was always someone just from a writing and performing background was like, oh, yeah, it's whatever's on the page, that's what they do. So it's so interesting to now finally be a part of that where you're like, actually, I wrote this, and I didn't envision it like that at all, but that's how you interpreted it. And that's how you went with it. And now I'm super happy because you easily could have been like, yo, this ain't it.
Yeah.
So that's so bizarre to me that, like, in your mind it was completely different. That's crazy.
It wasn't radically different, but just like you just took him, like, there's a moment, like, I was actually talking to my wife about this interview coming up, and I'm like, there's just this moment that Corey takes it when the railroad man comes back and you kind of see, even though he has been introspective and understands, like, you know, I can't do that awful stuff my daddy had me doing for money or glory or whatever, but, like, at least I you know, now I'm down here and I'm in my little town. I'm not doing no harm whatsoever. And here still I managed to sell my soul. And the moment you did the one line read, I don't know how many takes you got, 'cause I only got one, when you said, so you're the devil then. And, yeah. And I was just like, this is how limited this little man's view is of just, like, you know, the world and God and, yeah, and everybody is just like, so he assumed, like, I've been bad enough that I done screwed up so hard that I done sold my soul to the devil. And, well, here we, that just that moment, I'm like, there's the performance right there.
Well, thank you. But the dialogue ahead of that actually informed my decision to say it like that, because I if I'm correct, right after I say that, the railroad man, Yuri, goes on this diatribe about how small-minded I am to think that the devil of the Bible would be doing all this shit. And so I read that forward, and I was like, okay, be stupid. Be even dumber. You know what I mean?
So points also for reading other people's dialogue.
A lot
of actors would have just gone to their line and read their dialogue.
Well, I got to tell you, it's very possible that if someone had just asked me to do them a favor and this wasn't a show I cared about, that I might have done that.
Sure.
I would like to think that I wouldn't.
Sure.
But I may
sure.
have gotten in a hurry and been like, I got this or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I know and respect so many people that listen to this podcast that I was like, no, dude, like, you know, this is something that you're not a professional at, so you're going to probably have to try even harder. But, like, dude, you know, leave it all out there, and any cheat code you can think of, you know, try that. So if it means reading it backwards, do that, you know.
Yeah. Well, for the record, Yuri Lowenthal is the only professional voice actor to ever be on Old Gods of Appalachia. We're all professionals now.
Well, that's how good your writing is, by the way, because I would have never guessed that.
Yeah.
Well,
especially with that those last couple episodes.
Last couple episodes were where we worked our asses off on those.
It was so good.
Tim, what did we come out to at one point? Like 900?
9,999. And we're like, okay, we can't touch it. But then, of course, we had to. So it was but yeah, we wanted it to be at that. We're like, yes, this is perfect now.
Can I jump in real quick with the story about when I got high and listened to your show? Just for a second, because I don't really get high, because it's something that I'll try every now and then, and it never really quite works for me. Like I get all the stuff that I don't
all
want.
All the anxiety.
Like, I get all the anxiety. I get paranoia. The dry mouth. I get the... my time gets all fucked up. Like every second seems like a year, which, you know, under certain circumstances would be great. But, and so the last time that I tried this, and this is an embarrassing story I've never told in public before, but I feel like I'm amongst family. So I was out in my office late one night, and I'm like, I'm just going to take some time to myself. And I'm like, oh my God, my friend gave me some pot cookies that he baked a while ago.
Oh, Lord, and I just, it's edibles too.
And so so edibles. And I, you know, I just, they were in the Ziploc bag and I had thrown them on my shelf for, you know, another day and forgot about them. And I'm like, well, he said they were really strong. So I'm just going to have a little bit. Maybe I'll have like a third of this cookie. And I ate it. And I knew it was going to take a little while to settle in. So I was just waiting. And then it finally kicked in. And then a second after the high kicked in, the food poisoning kicked in. Because those cookies were like 2 years old. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking, eating two-year-old cookies off a bookshelf.
Oh, no.
And so I'm like, oh, no. Oh no, this is like the worst feeling in the world, and every second is lasting a year. So I started to panic.
Oh no.
And I'm like, you know what I need to do? I need to focus. I need to focus, and I'm just going to get through this. And I hate being punished for, you know, something that I wanted to do nice for myself, but I just got to get through this. So I put on an episode of the show. And I'm just like, I'm just going to sit here on the couch, and I'm just going to listen to the show. And I'm like, And the food poisoning got worse. Oh. And so I felt poisoned, and I felt like I had been listening to the show for 6 years. I'm like, how is it possible I'm still in this same episode? Something's wrong. And that's when I texted my wife in the house. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? She's like, hey, I'm just about to go to sleep. And I'm like, yeah, so help. So here's what I just did. And she's like, honey, do you want me to come out there? I'm like, yes, please. will you be my shepherd for the next however many hours it's going to take me to get through this? And I felt like such an asshole, because every time I'm like, and the memory thing, I lose my short-term memory and I can't remember how long I've been like this. And all my friends who always want me to get high and watch a movie with them because I'm a cinephile, I finally had to stop doing that because I couldn't enjoy the movie because after a minute, I couldn't remember what had happened a minute ago in the movie, and I enjoy movies too much. So I don't know. I think I still have to dial it in, but I'm out of it for a little while. Yeah. I fucked that one up good.
For the record, aside from the food poisoning part, all that bullshit happens to me too. I've just finally found the teeniest, tiniest dose that I can take to where it's gonna be okay. Mm-hmm. But still, even that teeny tiny dose on some days can still decide, hey, I'm gonna ruin your entire life, and you're gonna be in the woods, and it's gonna kick in, and you're gonna be listening to Old Gods, and all of a sudden the ground's gonna look like nothing but snakes, because you're just so paranoid that you're like, I know it's snakes everywhere. And I can't imagine coupling that with life-shattering diarrhea, like, and I also love that the first thing you thought of when all that was going on was like, This reminds me of Old God's Apple. I need
to go.
That'll get me through. That'll get me through. What was I thinking? I mean, those snakes, you know, when you saw the ground turn to snakes, that probably was actually the show and not whatever you had just ingested.
That's a feature, not a bug. Yeah, for sure. Pretty much. That's what's going on there. All right. So now that we've all outed our drug use, which, by the way, I don't use drugs. Thank you very much.
Straight edge. I should have done the X's on the back of my bones.
I almost had me a Boojum Brewery Oktoberfest in here. And nice. Corey, I do fear for my life when you come to Asheville finally and the world's able to travel again, because I've seen the pictures of you on tour, and I think you may kill me if I come hang out. But
It's getting out of hand. I've got to rein it back. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, that's good.
I'd been doing so much better in life during the pandemic. Of course, I was just at my house all the time, and then as soon as immediately back up to not all our old tricks. You know, we're still trying to stay away from most people. But
right,
yeah, I may kill you.
Yeah.
I'd like a ticket to that particular batch of shenanigans someday.
Yeah, I would. Bristol has a new comedy club that just opened, and you need to come here now, because Bristol has the primary benefit of being right off the interstate, so it's on the way to everywhere else. That's the only reason we get any kind of shows here.
I just passed it yesterday, and actually, matter of fact, my manager sent me a link to that. She's from California before, to inform what I'm about to say is only barely offensive. She said... She sent me a link to that new comedy club, and she goes, "Is fucking Bristol even anything worth something?" And I was like, and she was meaning it sincerely, like, "Hey, you're from around in parts, you know." Like, I was like, "Absolutely, anywhere that is driving distance for me
is fantastic."
It's fantastic. And people are used to pulling off the interstate for races or strip clubs or whatever is whatever happens to be in Bristol.
I did tell you that the Grey Ballet is returning. Did I not?
Oh, my Lord. The Grey Ballet is so in Grey, Tennessee, there was a strip club called the Mouse's Ear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
I
mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I am sex and kink positive. I am.
But you were traumatized by your trip.
We are pro sex work. We are pro. Yes, the one and only strip club story I have. My best friend at the time got married, and he was a big weightlifting UFC type guy. So his non hardcore band buddies all insisted we go to the strip club. Nobody informed us it was full nude before we walked in. So like when you walk in and there's like full bits like right there, like platform level. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ready for that without anticipation. And I was like, what year was that? I was like maybe 24, 25. And the
It was like, what, 2003 maybe?
Maybe. All the women were beautiful. The place was just a complete like sticky bottom of an unwashed glass. Was kind of the sanitary nature of the place. But and by sitting beside my best friend, it was just like I got every lap dance he got, I sort of got by proxy.
Right.
And it was just like, and I just felt like a creep, because I'm like, can I just write you a check? Like, you don't want me to touch you. Honey, I don't want to touch you. Like, you're beautiful. This is lovely. But, like, this is not for me. And bless all the workers out there. Bless all the dancers out there. Y'all are doing amazing work. You are artists. Validate all the hell. But, like, at that point in my life, I was just like, I feel like I'm doing somebody wrong by existing in this space. And the one girl who kept getting brought over to lap dance for my buddy Josh was just like discussing his wedding with him through the entire time. So what are your colors? You know, straddling his lap, you know, bending over. It's like, so where's your reception? You know, it was just like, it was polite and it was businesslike and it was hilarious, because if you don't know my buddy, but like him presented in that situation was like asking a deacon, not a deacon, because Josh is no deacon, but he was just tongue-tied. I guess it's blush and bashful. I don't know, you know, like there's a reference for you. But yeah, so Bristol is shit, We'll say that. It is worth fucking
yeah.
with.
It is. Yeah.
And it's only an hour and a half for me, if that. So, like, you know.
Yeah, it's close, and it's on the way to everywhere else. So.
That's something to do, like, a side gig on your way into doing, like, one of your all's, like, multiple yeah. night stands in Asheville or something.
Yeah, for sure. That's probably exactly how that'll end up being routed, if yeah. I had to guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah. Asheville has the orange peel, of which the well-read comics are... Our kings, pretty much.
Very familiar Very of the familiar. Orange peel. The last time we did it, though, obviously, pre all this mess, I remember they were bragging to us about how they just got a air conditioner and a new one. You know, I assume they have, but they were like, oh, yeah, you know, it's going to be better in here. We got a new air conditioner. Well, we get there, and I go in to do the sound check, and it is one of the hot. It was in June, and it's so hot in there. Like, it's so hot. And I was like, I thought y'all got a new air conditioner, and they're like, "Oh, we did, but we didn't. We just hadn't turned it on yet." And I was like, "Well,
stop.
I'm gonna need you to do that shit.
Like, I'm gonna need you to." And they were just like, "Right now."
And they were yeah. like, "All right, we'll get around to it." And then finally, before the show, like it hadn't, I was like, "Are y'all gonna turn the air conditioner on?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, the boss ain't here, and he's the only one that can, you know, authorize that." And I just told him, I said, "Dude, listen, here's the deal. I love y'all. I love this place. I'm always gonna come back. But either that air conditioner is getting turned on, or I'm performing in my underwear." And I performed in my underwear. I did the whole show completely just in my underwear.
Well done.
But I loved it. It was a great time. But yeah, yes, Orange Peel, tremendous place. I've been told, turn on the air conditioner.
Yeah, and Orange Peel is a sweet. Like, Rolling Stone called it one of the best rock clubs in the country. Like,
it's awesome. Wow. Yeah.
Like, that's where, awesome. If you're not playing the Civic Auditorium for, like, a big, or the U.S. Cellular, or no, I guess it's the Hannah's Casino Center, which is, like, the big yeah. concert venue for the city. The Orange Peel is, like, holds 1,000 people. That's where, like, you know, like, if you want to see, it's where we see the Mountain Goats. I mean, I'm always name dropping John and the Mountain Goats. But, and it's sad because the Mountain Goats used to play at the Grey Eagle, which is a club yeah. that holds like 300 tops, I think, maybe, if that. And shows with bands you love there, or comics you love there. I saw Todd Barry there.
I bet that was awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, that was totally good. That's where my joke that I use, that Asheville is white people with dreadlocks and white people yeah. without dreadlocks living together in harmony. That's totally yeah. a Todd Barry joke. That's totally.
That's great.
He's like, this seems like the kind of town where it'd be really easy to get laid if you're like a swami. like, you know, like he was like,
yeah. That is right. accurate.
And that is very accurate.
You City have a yoga of gurus. Studio, yeah.
But anyway, now that we've talked all kinds of trash about strip clubs, swamis, other comedians, and Corey in his underwear.
I'm never talking trash about that.
No, never. Thank you. Never. It's a beautiful, wave of white noise. Yeah. So, I guess we'll ask the question that I planned on asking at the end. But I'm going to ask it now. If we wanted to have y'all back, would y'all come back? If not, it's the
without
same.
Without question.
Well, oh, yeah. Of course.
Maybe even
in a heartbeat. Well,
I don't think Yuri can do a different character, frankly. But I think since Jerry Brotherton, I don't think we need to do a prequel of Jerry Brotherton. But right. I would love. I told Drew Morgan a year ago I'd write something for him, and I never have.
That's okay. I'll do his thing. I'll do it.
And I want to have Drew. I mean, like, yeah, because, like, you know, I love y'all and I love y'all's audience, and I would love to make my audience and vice versa. But yeah, yeah. So I should just have it. You know, I should just write a Three Stooges-esque storyline where you, Drew, and Trey just go on a spooky adventure and one by one get picked off by like a swamp witch or something.
That would be so tremendous, and we would definitely be in. And I know I'm playing Curly, and fuck you for that.
The Bell Witch. It's got to be the Bell Witch, though.
We actually all three do look exactly like. I look like Curly. Trey looks like
Mo.
Shimp or Mo.
Yeah.
And Drew has the Larry thing going on.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, redhead.
No, I can't.
Blackhead,
I can't even
and
see.
And Drew's
it.
Starting to lose his hair, but he's keeping it on the sides, just like I'm telling you, dude.
That's
like,
crazy.
It's gonna happen. Yeah. It's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, and we'll have some fun here because I like to recommend things. What is something, it doesn't have to be spooky or scary, I know our family loves good horror stuff, but what is something that you're watching, reading, or have seen in the last little bit that you would recommend to somebody else?
Well, I'll do a new thing that I'm watching that's new to everyone, and a thing that has, much like Old Gods of Appalachia, was recommended me for so long, and for some reason I put it off, and I feel like an idiot for doing so. The thing I'm currently watching that this is almost goes without saying, it's Ted Lasso, for God's sakes.
Yeah, come
it's
on
so,
now.
It's so good. It's the most surprised I've ever been at a show because cynically, I just see this and I'm like, I knew that it was, I'd seen the commercials and I'm like, they're going to, wait, hold on. The commercials were one thing, but a whole television show based on a dude who goes to coach soccer that's never coached soccer. I'm like, I know it's Jason Sudeikis, but even still. Then I watched the first episode, realized, oh, wait, Bill Lawrence did it? No shit. And it's just so tremendous. It's got, when I first started hearing about, oh, a comedy, yeah, it's a comedy with heart. That used to always make me mad because I used to always be like, no, everything has to be Always Sunny. There should be no love, right. No point, all deviousness, all crackheads, all, you know. And now I find myself like going, am I crying at this comedy right now? And I love it so much. And the old thing that I've just recently discovered, because now that this past couple of years we've been spending a lot more time at home, I've been like, okay, finally The Wire, but is Justified, and which I'm sure that everybody in your audience has listened to. But I just needed to apologize to everybody for being so late to the Justified train. It is absolutely amazing. I've never been more upset that I wasn't able to be a part of something. It just pisses me off. It's just tremendous.
I will add on to your Justified thing though, and I just posted this song on our Twitter today. If you are into You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive, ignore the Brad Paisley version and go listen to the Daryl Scott version that I posted.
Oh, the Daryl Scott, yeah,
because he wrote it. I mean, it's his song, yeah. And he apparently fought long and hard to get the rights back for that song and a lot of his songs. He wrote. If you go listen
so many Dixie Chick songs he wrote.
Well, Travis Tritt.
Travis Tritt, Great Day to Be Alive.
Yep.
He has a verse that they took out of Travis Tritt's, the fourth verse, which I really like. I love Daryl Scott.
Yeah, Daryl Scott's an amazing, amazing singer-songwriter. And the version I tweeted of the Transatlantic Sessions where they're doing Never Left Harlan Alive with like a squeeze box and two women gospel vocalists, and just like everybody in that moment, in that session, is feeling that song. Yeah, that's that, and Daryl Scott and John Charles Dwyer, who is from here in Asheville. That's been my playlist for the past little bit. But anyway, I'll get to my recommendations. Cam, you have something that you're watching and enjoying.
I've been listening to I don't know if it's new. Anyway, I think it's newer. One of theirs, the Wondery podcast, Suspect.
Okay.
Which is really, it's really interesting because I love true crime stuff, and there was somebody I'm so sorry if you are a listener and not a random person that I don't remember who it was, but somebody, you know, was tweeting about, you know, I really love true crime, but I want to find something that's not just cop worship, basically. And I was like, you should make that podcast. I would love that podcast and I would listen to it. And now I started listening to Suspect, and Suspect is very much, it starts out just talking about this case where an actual pretty classic whodunit, a girl was murdered after a party. And it was like an apartment complex wide party. So tons of suspects, people in and out of each other's apartments all night long. But it actually talks about, for one, the problems with trace DNA, touch DNA, which is like the skin cells and things like that, that can actually be really easily transferred. They're not as conclusive as juries may sometimes be led to believe. And you also like racism and classism also factor. The first suspect that they looked at, who seemed a lot more likely, of course, you know, his family got him a lawyer, and suddenly they start looking at somebody else, which really seems like, oh, you're going for the low-hanging fruit. It's a poor black kid, only black man at the party, no lawyer. I mean, it's actually very critical of the process, even though they're very polite. They actually managed to get the prosecutors and the police to talk to them and in interviews, which is not always the case. If they think you're going to be critical, sometimes they are not willing. But it's actually
same with me
really
on
good
podcast interviews, for the record.
So yeah, it's been a really, really good show.
All right, Yuri Lowenthal, what is something you're listening to, watching, enjoying right now?
That's going to segue right really well into mine, which is that new Steve Martin Short show, Murders Only Murders in the Building.
I've seen one episode and I'm in.
So great, and it only gets better from the it's a really interesting, like, I find it hard to think of any other show that's doing it or has done exactly what they're doing.
It's lovingly done. There is such,
yeah.
And I'm iffy on Martin Short. Martin Short did Jiminy Glick, that fat suit bullshit that he did in the late 90s and just grossed me out, turned me off to him entirely.
But when you put him and Steve Martin together, because they're such good friends, and you take Steve Martin's, something that he always brings to his projects, which is like this like magical realism, like every now and then something really weird happens, but it's just accepted as part of the world. And I think that's something that he's bringing to this, and it's working really well for me. And if you love true crime podcasts, it is, and another Hulu show. I've been all over Hulu for some reason lately. Reservation Dogs is awesome.
You just took one of my recommendations.
Sorry.
I saw the pilot and I really enjoyed it.
Reservation Dogs is one of the best things on television right now.
Yeah.
My wife was trying to get me to watch it for a hot minute, and I'm like, oh, I'm not in the right mood, I'm not in the right space. Then I found out who the executive producers are, and I was just like, oh.
Taika, right?
Yep.
What can he not do? Brilliant.
And we're several... and there's some magical realism that's happening later in it, and featuring Tannis from Letterkenny. Forgive me for not knowing that actress's name. It's escaping me at the moment, but it is
Letterkenny.
Letterkenny, which had so much promise, and then
that's another one of those old God of Appalachia things for me. I only watched the pilot and I did like it, but I cannot tell you the amount of times a day. Someone's like, have you seen Letterkenny? Have you seen Letterkenny?
I'm really interested in what happened with those dudes, because they went from being super left, calling out a lot of problematic shit in that style of sketch comedy to almost inverting themselves by the last season.
I haven't seen that. Yeah.
Arguing why he should be able to use the word gay however he wants. Mm-hmm. And they start taking kind of snowball jabs at people, and and if it's supposed to be ironic, I stopped watching, because honestly it became a lot of the same jokes just beaten. But the first three or four seasons are brilliant. I mean, they're hilarious and whatever.
I'm going to be boring and say that the current season of American Horror Story has an interesting premise. They're finally doing vampires.
They had to get around to it.
And so the concept is this. Vampirism is caused by a drug, and it's a drug that boosts creativity, but only if you already have talent. If you don't have talent, you basically turn into a soulless sort of monster vampire. If you do, you still have to kill people and drink their blood and stuff. You just, are under control.
The Toreador are the dominant clan, is what you're telling
me. Yes, the Toreador are
the dominant clan.
The whole concept of, creatives as vampires is, it's different. I mean, it's been pretty interesting. I'm iffy about the show sometimes. There are seasons I have not loved. But so far, I'm like, all right. I'm following you.
And we all, the only creative vampires exist in Los Angeles. We all know this. This is a thing. You know, we needed an additional form of representation from our agency. So I texted our agent. I'm like, hey, could you go dig up a literary vampire from the crypt for me that I could talk to answer some questions?
We need that.
Yeah, just pitch them on up. Bring Pete. Oh, season 3 of What We Do in the Shadows is out.
Oh, yep. And also Wellington Paranormal, the sort of the offspin or the offshoot on HBO Max.
Wellington Paranormal is basically the movie world. It's all the same universe, but it's New Zealand movie world. What We Do in the Shadow, and it's cops.
Yeah,
It's the show cops.
Oh, wow.
And they are the two of the most lovely stupid human beings. And what's funny to me is that for us, the New Zealand accent is part of the joke, just the way they say things. So I'm just really curious how that show plays in New Zealand. Because that's where it was imported from there.
Yeah.
It came out after the movie came out, but it's just it's really, again, Taka doing the wonderful, wonderful.
He's doing the Lord's work.
And the fact that we're starting to see throwbacks to the movie on Wellington, aka Nick the douchebag vampire, is truly, truly, truly magical as far as that goes. All right, so family, we're near the end of our time. So before we go, though, do y'all have anything you want to plug or upcoming dates?
I'd love to plug. I did a sci-fi show a couple of years ago, I guess almost 3 years ago now, for Legendary Digital. They had a platform called Project Alpha, and they were looking for content. And we pitched them a show that was a sci-fi show, a weekly sci-fi show, but we perform it live every week, you know, and all the special effects are live. The music was performed live by a band on the stage while we were doing the show. Like, it was the highest tightrope I'd ever walked in my life. And then to make it even more complicated, because it was a live show and it was on this sort of Twitch type platform that Legendary was trying to do, people who were watching the show in real time could vote on ways the story would go. So we'd have to prepare branching storylines and sort of make up our mind on the fly. I don't know why we did this.
What level? How? Why? That is.
Yeah. Why? Who said this was okay?
You need a minder.
But the show is called Orbital Redux, and what we did is we took all the footage from those live shows and we cut together the episodes. We said, look, if these episodes stand on their own without the gimmick of, you know, it being live, we'll find a new home for them. Because a lot of people didn't get to see the show because of the platform that it was on, nobody knew about, and then it went away. And we did it, and the episodes turned out great. And so we found a home on Dust, which is, for those who don't know Dust, and most people don't, it's a sci-fi, you know, aggregator site. It's a what Shudder is to horror. Dust is, you know, when you can download the app or you can go to their YouTube or you can just go to watchdust.tv. Look for the show Orbital Redux. It's 8 episodes. You can binge it in 2.5 hours or you can spread it out as you see fit. And all I ask is that as you're watching the show, just remember when we were first doing that, we were doing it live. But I'm so proud of it. Go watch Orbital Redux.
Orbital Redux on Dust. Yeah. Corey, what about you?
You know, I'm on tour. Yeah, you can go to wellreadcomedy.com, WELLRED comedy.com. It's a pun. and we're going to be, we're rounding out the year with my favorite show that I would really love to plug, just because I assume you have a lot of family members here on the podcast in Nashville, Tennessee. December 16th through 19th, we do our special Christmas shows. They're the funnest shows. And I was also just informed yesterday that like 3 of the 5 shows for December are already almost sold out. So get those tickets. And other than that, I've got so many things that I can't wait in a month to talk to you about. But I can't say them right now. Oh. So just if you follow me on Twitter, you'll know about them. I'm really having a great time doing a lot of different things, writing some things, saying some things into a camera, that whole lot, you know. Mm-hmm. So, just nothing.
Nothing.
nothing till I can tell you in 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So we encourage our family to stay tuned. Old Gods has a ton of content coming very soon, hopefully, unless the Lord comes or the creek rises or both happen at once, which has been known to happen around these parts. So I appreciate y'all. Yuri, Corey, y'all made season 2 something
you
beyond.
You really did. Thank you so much for being part of this.
Like not
well,
just
it was a pleasure. I mean, it was
thank y'all for having
pleasure.
Me and Yuri. It was an honor. My goodness, I'm not worthy, as they say.
That goes both ways. I'll take it just because I'm older than you, Corey. But that goes both ways.
Yeah, but well, I not just y'all's audiences and the people y'all brought and helped expose us to, but I mean, just y'all killed it. Y'all came in like Corey, like you said, guest stars can come into a podcast and be a name and say some lines and be gone. There are some podcasts out there that have done major, major Hollywood celebrities, and it sounds like they read the lines, all 20 of their lines, on their lunch break in order with no direction. And both of y'all worked with us and took direction from me, who's nobody, outside of just narrating this podcast. So I appreciate both of you so much. I love you, and I know I'm so happy and proud to call you family. And we managed to get through this episode without once talking about the desirability of the railroad man. So
I guess we'll have to do another episode.
So thank y'all for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon, family. Talk to you real soon.
Tired
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.